you would take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. As we look this morning toward God's faithful protection. Perhaps this passage will be familiar. If for nothing else, there is a song that actually is the number one. Folks vote on these things anyway. Recently found it is the number one liturgical song in churches in the United States. The song is entitled On Eagle's Wings. And it includes a portion of this psalm and is based upon this psalm. Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. We're approaching a very important time in the church calendar. We have just recently come from Advent and from Christmas. Epiphany, in many churches of a more liturgical nature, was celebrated at the beginning of January. And at Epiphany, among other things, the visit of the Magi to find the Christ child is celebrated. The next event that we usually look to is Easter, but in many churches, something precedes Easter. We'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. It is not a misspelling in the bulletin. Here comes the L-E-N-T, Lent. We're not going to talk about dryers or things that you find in your pockets, L-I-N-T. But we want to talk about Lent and the importance of Lent for we who are Christians as we approach Easter. This coming Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. It is Ash Wednesday. Tuesday is celebrated in some places as Fat Tuesday. You get to eat and eat and eat and eat some more. It's also known as Shrove Tuesday. But we'll talk some more about those things later. Lent approaches. Easter approaches. We're in a time in February where not a whole lot goes on that we celebrate, right? Maybe birthdays, Valentine's Day. But we really don't celebrate a whole lot of other things. It seems to be around us something of a dead time in the world. The trees are still very bare. The weather oftentimes in February is extremely unpredictable and very bad and very bleak. And Lent comes in that time to remind us of the somber moments in life, but also to prepare us not only for Easter, but to prepare and remind us of the good news that even in those times of pestilence, disease, uncertainty, even in those cold, dreary moments God provides protection. Protection for you and for me, for all who call upon God. All who need something of a sense of center and gravity to make life not only livable, but to continue to make life important. After seeing a picture of the world and hearing about people down in Australia, little girl Sarah asked her teacher, "Well, if they're down there and looking at the growth, said, if they're down there and we're up here, how come they don't fall off?" Absolutely. Gravity. And after giving a simple explanation of the laws of gravity, the teacher thought everything was now in order. She'd answer the question and she could move on. And she did. But it wasn't over for Sarah just yet. That night, Sarah's mother noticed that she was in deep, deep thought and thought something was wrong. And so she went in and she asked Sarah, "What are you thinking about?" Sarah pondered for a moment and then she looked up at her mother and she said, "I was thinking about gravity. And I think I finally got it figured out. I decided that gravity is God at the center of the world, protecting and keeping His children right side up when the world's upside down." What's the text say? Out of the mouths of babes. The psalmist, writing Psalm 91, understands, I think, exactly what Sarah came to describe. He understands that the world is not always a safe and happy place. He understands that life is not always rosy. But in the middle of its perils, in the middle of everything that can come at the psalmist, many things that have already occurred in his life, he finds an abiding security in the shelter and the shadow of the Almighty. In fact, he exudes confidence that with God at the center of the world, those who truly follow God are protected and will find that even in an upside-down world, God can keep them right side up. The writer of this psalm, many scholars think, is probably a young person, not an old man, because of his exuberance in his praise of God. He knows that life is full of difficulties, some which he has created for himself, and some of which are brought about by other forces, the tempter, the fowler. Yet his first thoughts in the middle of all of this, though in the midst of this psalm we find him speaking of the tempter and the fowler and the snares and people falling, in the middle of all of that, his first thoughts are of the security which God brings. Not a security that keeps things from happening, but a security that allows him to live through them to something even better. Security that is described as shelter, as shadow, as refuge, as fortress. Pretty strong words. Words that speak of places of security. The writer has experienced the snares of the fowler, a reference to both the demonic and to man-made pitfalls. I've said it before, and I still fully believe that God and the devil take the rap from us for a lot of things that neither one had anything to do with. We did it ourselves. He has seen dreaded diseases around him. He lives in a world that seems so hostile at times. So hostile that one would want to go into hiding. Does that world sound familiar to you? The hostilities that we see in our world today, the diseases that are around us, the diseases that sometimes ravage even our own family members. And yet, in the middle of all of that, the psalmist is so secure and so certain about God's protection in the end that he doesn't allow these things to overwhelm him. Rather, he finds comfort in knowing that God has fixed his protective wings over him. His wings and the pinions of his wings. And that God is faithful in shielding him from utter devastation. Yes, things happen, but he is kept from utter destruction. Now, that doesn't mean that we will not experience difficulty. It doesn't mean that we don't get afraid sometimes. The terror of the night, some scholars think is a reference to night demons. You know, those things that every child knows. Hide in the closet. Or those things that hide under the bed, and you've got to keep all your toes and fingers under the covers, because if you stick one out, it's done. Right? Or to the darkness found within the terrors of an upside-down world. God will be the refuge for those who seek God. Not everything comes by night. There are real dangers in the daylight as well. And sometimes those dangers we see coming and we still stand there and allow them to come. Arrows of doubt, hatred, anger, selfishness, gossip, so many other things that are pitfalls. The terrors, the arrows that come by night and by day. So many ways that we hurt each other and are hurt by others. And yet, the psalmist, knowing those things, still can write, "You who dwell in the shadow of the Lord, who abide in his fortress for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust." He has that trust. He has that certainty that God is his fortress and God is his rock, even when the arrows come his way. True story is told about Martin Luther, that one who founded what became the Protestant Reformation. A cardinal was sent to Luther. Luther, who had been trained as a priest. And the cardinal was sent to Martin Luther to attempt to get him to renounce his beliefs and to be faithful to the church of his day, to come back into the fold. After all, Luther was a priest. Luther knew the church. Luther had worked in the church. When the cardinal confronted him, he said, "Do you really think the Pope cares about the opinion of a German boor? Do you expect your princes to take up arms and to defend a wretched worm like you in face of the church? I tell you, no. And where will you be then?" Luther paused for a moment and looked the cardinal straight in the eye and said, "Where I am now, in the hands of the Almighty God." Luther knew of the refuge and fortress that is God, even when faced by the power of leadership within the church gone awry. In the hands of Almighty God. Diseases, some of which we bring on ourselves and some that catch us off guard, freeze us sometimes in fear. In the days of the psalmist, plagues and epidemics of many types were very real. They were very present dangers. But then again, is our world so much different? for all the things that we have done with medical science, among the other things that have happened, viruses that are resistant to antibiotics, wars like cancer, stroke, heart disease, HIV, AIDS, and so many others confront us at nearly every turn. And I can't tell you the number of folks in recent months, and some of you know it very well, that are nearly devastated by pneumonia. Every time we turn around, and if we see that, and if we were on our own, we couldn't even bear to look up or go outside. We would probably hide inside. But the psalmist states that the gospel of God for the world, that is the good news of God for the world, is still there. It is God's faithful protection and guidance for those who make God their strength and their refuge, and who reflect upon that regularly. That's also a part of Lent, by the way, for we who are Christians. Not just to reflect upon where we have fallen short, but to reflect upon God's faithful security and protection and guidance. The doctrine some teach that true religion is an insurance policy against adversity and a guarantee of prosperity is not the true gospel. It's really not. All we have to do is look at the one in whose name we claim to worship and to minister, Jesus the Christ. Look at his life. Born not even in a hospital, not even in a bed in a nice home, but in a stable. Living in a house in a town that was under Roman occupation. Growing up being persecuted even by family and friends, and misunderstood. Eventually tortured and killed by the very folks whom he came to save. We're not guaranteed immunity from temptation, from hardship, or from even failure. Jesus himself did not have immunity from facing those things. But we are guaranteed that God will faithfully guide us through with endurance, and through the difficulties to the other side, reinforcing the inner resources that we have. Our modern and postmodern world has given itself to the pursuit of security. We're not immune. We thought we were, especially in this country. Before 9/11/01, many of us thought that strict security measures were for those people over there in other countries. Then we found out that we're all part of an upside-down world. We're all part of an upside-down world. Insecure in its own ways of operating. We'd never needed a passport before to go on a cruise or to cross a border. Now you must have one in order to leave and get back into the country. If you fly out, you've got to have one. Read the other day a news bulletin that now Mexico is saying you've got to have a passport to get into the country, whether you're flying or driving or taking a cruise ship. In 2008, you'll need a passport to cross the border into or back from Canada. We're tightening everything up. Luggage and person searches are the norm. And I don't understand what happened when we went on our trip recently, but it's the first time that I've flown in a while since 9/11 that I wasn't pulled out and singled out to take off my shoes and all that kind of stuff. You know, I guess I do look like a terrorist, right? Oh, wait a minute, that was terrible, not terrorist. We obtain wealth. Money changes value. We take pride in making new medicines and improvements in surgical skills, only to find out that the viruses are resistant to the drugs and the cost of health care is prohibitive for many. We try our own things and we pride ourselves in making those advances, only to find that if we put too much stock in our own advances and our own selves, we're sorely disappointed. Our world is in need of gravity. Gravity just like Sarah understood it. And you know something? We have access to the good news of how to make people right side up in an upside down world. But we must be like the psalmist. In order to do that, we have to have an adequate faith that speaks with confidence of the assurance that through the chances and changes of life, and through the chances and the changes of the world, there is a divine protector. A protector in whose wisdom and grace we can find not only peace, but we can spread peace. We don't just find it, but we can spread it. God in Jesus the Christ, who gives us life, who gives us salvation. Peace made right side up in an upside down world, because it's in the hands of an almighty God. And the other part of the psalm and the song: and He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of His hand. Our faithful protector. May we be faithful in seeking. Would you join me in prayer? Oh Lord our God, we sometimes try to do everything ourselves. Sometimes we look around us and we see so much going on in the world that perhaps we even take ourselves out of the world and hide, afraid of what we face, afraid that we might fall short, afraid of falling off an upside down world. Help us over the next weeks and then months and then the remaining years of our lives to find the gravity of You at our center. To remember that You are our protector even when difficult days come. To rest upon the assurance that You will raise us up on eagle's wings. But that we also have to do our part in sharing the gospel of Your peace. Spreading that peace for an upside down world, that in You we can become right side up. We offer these prayers to You in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 719, Children of the Heavenly Father. As we sing, and as we prepare for our journey ahead, our journey toward Easter and then even beyond, may we remember that we do have that assurance of God's protection, even when sometimes we're unaware, even when sometimes we turn our backs. And may that help us to recommit ourselves anew. Whether we do so by coming and making a first-time profession of faith, by uniting with this church fellowship for ministry, or by a recommitment of ourselves to God's service. May we truly be found faithful in accepting and sharing that protection, because we are children of the Heavenly Father.